You're listening to the Best in Greenway NBL podcast. I am Seb Greenway. Joining me, as always, Carl Beston. How are you, brother?
I'm good. The NBL Cup is over, Seb.
It is over. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed. I know everyone was like, we've got basketball fatigue, too many games, blah, blah, blah. The games are meaningless. You know, oh, it's an unfair advantage to Melbourne, blah, 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 which, you know, that last point has some validity, sure. Yep. But at the end of the day, like, it was great to just finish work, finish your day, go down to, in our case, Carl, we could actually go to the game, so that's maybe why I enjoyed it more than most. But even so, like, on the nights I couldn't go, it was great to have some ball on in the evenings, Carl, to just chill out and enjoy.
Yeah, I liked, more than anything, I liked like the, I know some of the weeks it wasn't Monday to Sunday hoops, right? But I did enjoy the barrage of basketball that I was just confronted with every night watching two games. It totally ruined my productivity, Seb, but I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. And it was kind of cool. Like it kind of motivated me more to get down to some games too, being able to see some of the interstate teams go to work. I had a great time, went on, lucky enough to go on Saturday night, and that was for arguably the, two of the best games of the tournament in the Melbourne United, Illawarra and Sydney and Brisbane. And it was a great experience. I had a lot of fun.
We've kind of jumped ahead of our little rundown here. Blame me for that, being the host, Carl. We will talk about the Mitch Creek thing, but seeing as we've started talking about the NBL Cup, let's stick with the NBL Cup.
Yep.
Okay, so one of the things that I found really interesting about the NBL Cup was that it was, that although the games matter, it was almost as if teams were using it as a way of kind of, perhaps they might not have been fully organized or ready for the season with COVID and all the disruption going on. So certain teams used it as a way almost to play themselves into form. Like, obviously, New Zealand is a team that went into the cup really struggling. They got better as it went on. Brisbane Bullets are another team. I'd argue Perth, whilst they were reasonable going into the cup, they got better and obviously they won it. So from that perspective, I actually think it's going to do the season and the back end of the season a world of good, because we're going to start to see teams that, for example, I thought were going to be dominant teams in the league who did have a bit of a rough start. They've actually been able to put it together. We've still got plenty of games to go, so we're going to get to watch those teams do their thing, and it's going to make for a really good end to the season. So from that, in that sense, I really enjoyed it. I will say, though, I'm a bit in the one-off camp for the NBL Cup. I know that there's a lot of people who are excited about the prospect of it coming to their city or going to a different city every year. For me, I think it was a one-off due to COVID and it was a commercial necessity. I'm not sure about whether I would be so pro the NBL Cup in the future. What do you think?
I'm a supporter. I liked it. I do agree that it might be troublesome just to do it in one city for 3 weeks, but maybe a rotational thing where 1 week it's one city, 1 week it's another, 1 week it's another. Sort of thing for 3 weeks, like it did this time. So maybe you do the tour, you know, you do three, you know, you do a, you know, Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland stint.
Yeah. What you're saying is condense it down for 3 weeks again. So you do have the bombardment of basketball every night, but maybe distributed across the cities.
Yes, correct. You do it like, I know I'll reference your sport of choice, Sam, like how the football did it with the Festival of Footy. Like I do like, and if you can, I understand travel's a difficulty in that. So maybe therefore you can sort of base it in one city or whatever for a week, then move on to the next. Move is like a moving carnival, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Larry's circus, you know, like the Silver's circus. Larry's circus comes to town. You get what I'm saying? Like every week we have a different one, and I think it would be really, really cool. I can't complain. I thought it was really, really good. I'd like to see it stay. Whether it stays in this format or not, you know, who knows? But I like just having basketball front and center all week. I know that sounds kind of stupid, but if you can build that, but I think it is, maybe again, maybe I'm viewing it from the perspective of I really enjoyed it, right? Yeah. You have to see what the business analytics are in regards to that.
But do you think a more prolific product, i.e. on every night or every second night, for example, isn't that a way to maybe shift the mindset and therefore the main revenue driver away from attendance to maybe, hey, this is actually a television product that you want on your screens every night?
Yeah, it could be. I have to see the numbers. I really like it because it differentiates itself from the standard fare of Australian sport where it's reserved only for weekends. I understand, you know, doing double headers every night is a bit of a problem. You know, I understand that. Like the 5 o'clock's an issue, but like I would like to see more 7 o'clock games, particularly in the capitals.
Yeah.
So you can get, you know, like, because I'm sure, you know, Perth Wildcats, Melbourne United, Sydney Kings, you know, can fill up stadiums midweek and it sort of creates a point of difference from you, because, you know, from other sports. But again, I don't have the data in front of me. I don't have the ratings data in front of me. I don't have the attendances. You know, is it the same? Because, I mean, this time it was possible too because of COVID restrictions on venues. You know, so you were limited to a, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 person crowd, right? Does that work in a non-COVID era? You know, like, will we see similar numbers? It's hard to tell. All that I know is I'm giving the NBL the thumbs up on the cup. I liked it. I really enjoyed the experience of the few weeks. And again, I'm biased. I'm here in Melbourne. I went to, I think I went to four or five of the nights, right? So I get it. But I thought it was very good. I can understand how some of the coaches and some of the teams didn't like it so much. But from a viewer's perspective in Melbourne, it was great. Brian Gorgian made some comments about it. It was posted in Aussie Hoopla. He didn't want it counted towards the regular season, which was my sort of argument before the tournament. He goes, you want to do it, but I'd not have it count as the regular season. I mean, come on, Melbourne's played 8 more home games now. Phoenix are on a roll. You're playing at their place and the place is packed screaming for them. They're living the good life. We're in lockdown for a big part of this. You can't have a situation where Melbourne and Phoenix are living living different than us and playing home games. Have it in Wollongong at the Wollongong Entertainment Centre and see what our record would be. The thing is, equality, you want to have a tournament, you want to move it around and let it be its own separate deal. I wouldn't have it count as the regular season, not just because what I've experienced, because of how you want to use this tournament. The quarter bonus system, no, because you want to play your kids, you want to play your development players, you want to mix things up and experiment in this thing. Internationally in China, we had something that was similar to this and it was great value for everybody and everybody liked it. Also in Europe, they break down and have a cup, but it's a separate thing. You win that kind of money and it doesn't correlate to the regular season. I love the idea of it. Our guys love playing the games. I think it's got a future, but there needs to be some adjustments. They're Gorgian's comments. And I get that from a player and Gorgian furthermore said, we've been on the road now for 3 months. So trying to stoke rivalry wasn't part of this preparation. We've played poorly. We're in a hole right now. We want to stay in the picture. We need to win to stay in the top four so that we can get out home games that matter.
There's nothing remotely controversial in that. And I think all of it makes sense, whether you agree with it or not, or agree with it in part or not, it all makes sense to me.
Yeah, this was my position before the cup.
Yeah.
But I understand, I get it, why it was done in a COVID era, which is probably what the point you're making here, that you're not sure it's transferable every year to a new... But again, you could do it in Tasmania next year to give a new franchise a leg up, maybe.
Yep.
But again, will there be the crowd and will it resonate there? We'll wait and see, I guess.
Would you do it for points?
If it was Tasmania, yes. Otherwise, no.
Okay, so the only incentive then would be the prize money.
Yes. I would say no, I'd have it for regular. I'd have it for regular season counting if it was in Tasmania. But I think this year there was a bit of a problem because you had the two home teams.
Yeah.
And it was extremely difficult in that regard. And sometimes I mean, if you were thinking, hard done if, by, and that's fair from them.
Yeah, if you were thinking big picture, I know this is a preposterous suggestion from where we sit right now, but it would be cool to have like the Oceania like basketball cup.
Yeah.
You know, where you bring in like New Zealand teams, maybe you bring in like some teams from China or whatever, and you have qualification. Kind of like, you know, the Euro, the like soccer in the Champions League. I know we're a long way from that, but to me, I think that's more palatable in the future, notwithstanding what you think of the Chinese League, Carl. You know, it's more palatable in the future to me than perhaps this round robin kind of tournament that's in Australia. But that being said, I'm not going to chit-can the NBL here because I think in the circumstances it was really good. I think all the problems that Gorge has articulated there, that you articulated before it, I think they're all reasonable and I don't know what the solution really is for them.
That's
right?
The problem. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't here, right? Like as a coach and like, you know, from the perspective of a coach and a player, I would be screaming from the hilltops that position. And I screamed that before the tournament, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of get it. The negatives to me are obviously what Gorgian laid out there and what Lehmanns, whichever way you want to pronounce it. Lehmanns is the actual Latvian technical pronunciation there. He laid it out as well, essentially saying, well, they get an extra 8 home games. Like, we don't get that.
Yeah.
So that they've laid that out. In addition to that, I think there is a bit of one issue I do have in excess of that, just for the business model of the cup as well and its impact on clubs. This has created somewhat of a disconnect between fans and their clubs as well. So, like, you can ride the momentum of some home, you know, weeks of home games.
Yeah.
Here, they haven't been home in a month.
Mm.
Right? Mm. So, you kind of... you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of worried, you know, like, you know, so now Illawarra, Adelaide, Perth, you know, Sydney, Brisbane, you know, they in Cairns, they all go back, you know, are those casual fans still engrossed in it? Yeah. Or are they like, boy, you know, boy, the Lions are playing on the weekend or the Broncos are playing on the weekend.
I was just going to say, I think the end of the NBL Cup comes at a bad time from that perspective.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I get all the commercial reasons for why the NBL Cup was structured in this way and set up in this way. But I agree. I'm not sure that this was the year to take on, you know, the footy codes. But that's not to say never, but I wouldn't have personally done it this year if I was
Just the timing of it ending and then all these interstate clubs going back at the exact same time the two powerhouses of Australian sport are coming in.
Yeah.
I think I was informed that the Broncos are playing at the same time as the Bullets on the weekend.
Yeah.
Which is like... it's just scheduling stuff, but that'll get worked out. We'll see what happens. But overall, it gets a pass mark. It, you know, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I understand the complaints though.
We've got a note here, Carl. Does Perth winning the NBL Cup make them title favourites?
Not favourites, but they're in contention now, definitely.
All right, we'll come back to Perth
in a minute. Yeah, what do you say to that? What do you say to that?
Look, they've always been in contention. Obviously, favoritism. I'm still saying United.
I'm saying United. But I'm thinking you can kind of throw a blanket over the top six at the moment. As you mentioned at the top of the show, Seb. You know, the Mitch Creek matter, you know, has risen, I suppose, in the NBL sphere this week. Obviously, it's an ongoing legal matter, so we obviously won't be providing any comment on that. As you know, if you want further clarification, just check out the NBL website where the NBL and Southeast Melbourne have done a joint statement in regards to the matter. He's been stood down, I believe, indefinitely. Well, until the, I assume, until the matter is resolved. And it's probably not appropriate to, you know, it's not appropriate to discuss the matter until that matter is resolved. So I hope everyone can understand that. And I guess it's best to leave it at that. We'll move on. Will he be out for the next couple of weeks? Is the understanding at this point in time, because I think the matter's being held in April. So what does that mean for the Phoenix the next couple of weeks is the key issue, because he is a huge part of their team. I guess if we're going to discuss anything, he is a huge part of their team. And in the middle of a dogfight right now, where it's like 3-6 is really just, you know, wafer thin difference between the teams. What do you think this impact has over the next 2 weeks, Seb? They're playing Adelaide this weekend and then Melbourne United next week.
Look, I mean, they could, I wouldn't see them getting through United, but they could give Adelaide a fair shake, definitely. Yeah. I think in terms of Phoenix, Ryan Brockhoff is a really interesting talking point.
Let's
in
talk
his
about
debut,
that.
Carl.
We'll talk about that.
So obviously highly fancied recruit, a lot of fanfare, rightfully so. Look, I think minutes restriction, going to take some time to fit in with the system. Hasn't played basketball for quite a period of time. That's got to be a factor. I'm not gonna smash the guy, but certainly for the fanfare, I think probably the average fan demanded more. But you know, as I said, I'm not going to smash the guy. There are a lot of circumstances here that you got to take into account with Ryan. I think if he can get match fit, then I think he's going to be a great addition to the Phoenix. I said on the previous show that I don't think it moves the needle too much from a contender or a championship perspective. But you know, what did you make of it?
It wasn't a great opening weekend. Again, limited time with the team, so no one's gonna pot anyone over that. That being said, like, you know, some of the imports arrived within that time period of starting to, you know, and that wasn't the case. Like, that wasn't afforded to them.
Yeah.
So I expect a lot more, to be honest with you.
Yes.
I don't really, you know, there's no point pussyfooting around that. It is a marquee signing. It is a much hype signing. You would hope for a lot more than what you got on the weekend. And if the Phoenix, and I know the Phoenix won their games with him, but you know, if you want to play against the big boys like Melbourne United and Perth, and to be honest, even now Brisbane, Illawarra and Sydney, I think you're going to need more production than that from him. Yeah. I was a bit disappointed, but at the same time, I'm willing to give a pass for the period now. And I think given that...
How long are you giving him a pass?
It starts next week, bro. No, you laugh. Like, they've got
really?
They're down in personnel.
Okay.
Is this
an opportunity for Ben Moore, for example, to see more time and take the reins as Carl has wanted him to?
I don't know how. It's going to be an interesting time. It's going to depend when Kiefer Sykes is back to. If Kiefer Sykes isn't back this week, say against Adelaide, then there has to be a huge role for Brockhoff. And these are two crucial games. Adelaide's a must win.
Yes.
Right? That's a must win game. You have to win. They gave one up against Adelaide at home during the cup that they shouldn't have.
Yep.
And now they're down Humphreys as well, Adelaide. That has to be a win. Like, there's no excuses for Southeast Melbourne there. And then the Melbourne's a bit of a free shot. I get it. But whenever, because they won the game last week.
No, that's not a free shot. That's an automatic loss.
No, but I'm saying you're penciling it, the fact that you're penciling it in as an automatic loss indicates to me it's like a free shot, right? It's a free hit.
Oh, okay, yeah,
free
enough.
Throw at the stumps. Yeah, to use the Aussie Aussie vernacular, right? This is you're going in there playing with house money against Melbourne, and then they can get through that, and then we'll see what happens in the from there in regards to the situation that they face currently.
Mm. I think the big issue for the Phoenix, I mean, obviously is not just Creek, but Sykes, as you mentioned, and then gelling it all together. But I think the big issue they've really got, Carl, is number one, the other big story of the week, Lamar Patterson signing with the Bullets. Number two, not sure what the time frame on Xavier Cooks is, but it must be closing in. And we've also seen some improvement from the Hawks, or they at least look like they're not going away. So from that perspective, I think it's more the teams around them, as you described it in the logjam there, that's going to be the problem for the Phoenix. Yep. So I think to a certain extent we can keep the Phoenix in mind when we talk about these next few teams. But I mean, the Lamar Patterson thing's really interesting. It's really interesting for a number of levels. On a number of levels. Obviously, we were super high on the New Zealand Breakers. It hasn't all gone according to plan in New Zealand. And I think there are a number of reasons as to why that is. Dan Shamir obviously expressed a similar kind of sentiment. You could maybe interpret it as a bit more negative towards Lamar as he's walking out the door. Personally, I think Dan was just being kind of honest and saying, look, there are a range of factors. Maybe Lamar was one of those factors. I know you've got some thoughts on that, Carl. But I think before we get to the Shamir angle, or do you want to do the Shamir angle and the Breaker angle first?
Out of the way first. Dan Shamir said Lamar got to us 12 days before game one. Again, like we're talking like Ryan Brockhoff situation here, right? And unfortunately, he was not in top shape to play, and it was a difficult situation. It influenced how we played, and it influenced the whole team. I don't like the throwing of players under the bus when they're departing. The decision's been made, both parties. I think it benefits both parties here that this has occurred. Yeah. I've said this before about other coaches, Seb. The role of coach is a leader, and it should be a buck. I like Dan. I love Dan. I've probably been Dan's biggest supporter amongst the media / podcasting community. Doesn't mean I have to like everything. I didn't like this, just as I didn't like it last year when I criticized Simon Mitchell for kind of pinning. I think they got blown out in the game. He's like, well, I came up with the perfect plan, but they messed up, right? It kind of feels that way a bit here. Mitchell said it was about execution, not about the, preparation. And then here, it feels like to me, it's a bit like, well, Lamar was, it's this big problem for us. Well, if that was the case, you have to work your way around it. There are a multitude of other issues, I think, in New Zealand. Yeah, Lamar didn't play his best basketball there. We get it. And you can talk about the fitness, et cetera, et cetera. You can talk about those things. But, do we want to talk about the fact you started Rob Lowe ahead of Colton Iverson for weeks on end? And look at the difference he's made setting picks for the Websters. Do we also want to talk about the offensive system, which is just a series of on balls and dribble handoffs that does not move the offense at all and has resulted in the highest usage, two of your players having amongst the top couple of highest usage rates in the NBL? Do we want to talk about that? This is the thing. It's the easy out. And I love the Breakers organization, and I'm a big fan of Dan. But this came across as a little weak to me, and I didn't like it. That's just me. I've Seb, whenever this sort of stuff happens, doesn't matter who it is, I never like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fair. I think that's a reasonable assessment of it.
Well, I've just seen that quote. It might have elaborated on that, and maybe that was selectively quoted or whatever, but that's the quote that I saw. I wasn't. What do you think of that?
Oh, no, I agree. I agree. Having said that, though, I'm I don't view it as too. I don't view it as too negative. Yeah. Like maybe there are enough qualifiers in there and subtlety in the user language to kind of say, you know what, this didn't work.
Mm.
Right? Yeah, there's a little bit of a drive-by about Lamar Patterson and his physical fitness. I get that. He's not the only one to make those comments in the NBL sphere, Carl. And I think to a certain extent, we don't know as well what the internal situation is with the playing group. For all we know, it might not have been a great fit, right? And he could be coming out in support of the players that remain to say, hey, guys, psychologically, that's a bit of a break for us. It's a bit of a change in the season. They had the same sort of thing with Glenn Rice Jr. Mm. Not that I'm comparing Lamar and Glenn Rice, but it was a bit of a break in their season and it kind of turned everything around for them. And so maybe it's a bit of a psychological trick there as well, where he's saying, guys, you, the guys who are left, I'm backing you in. You know, this is it. You're going to have to perform now. Maybe I'm giving him too much of an out. Yeah. Maybe your interpretation is better, but I don't think it was the most egregious.
No, it wasn't the most egregious, but it doesn't mean I like it. So that's, I don't like coaches doing this just as a base opinion.
Yeah. Yes. But what I will say is your position will be greatly strengthened, Carl. Mm. If Lamar Patterson pulls on that Brisbane Bullets jersey and starts dominating. Yeah. Because if he starts dominating, questions have to be asked, do they not, of Dan Shamir to say exactly what you just said, Carl. Why couldn't you get this guy working in his system? And people can say, oh, the fitness. But he's been injured. Yeah. So presumably he hasn't had time to work fundamentally on his fitness if that is the problem. So I'm really curious to see how he performs at the Bullets. And if he comes out and dominates and carries the Bullets yet again to a top four appearance, well, questions have to be asked, in my view, as to what went on in New Zealand, not just this season, but I think last, because that's a bit of a pattern for me. Mm. Two seasons where they've had this horrible start or a poor start, and then they've kind of rushed to the finish line. What's going on there? So I'm not saying that's going to eventuate, but I think it's a really interesting dynamic that's set up for the second half there of the season or leading to the playoffs. And it just so happens that the Brisbane Bullets are riding absolutely sky high. And I think if Patterson can fit into that system like he did last season, the Bullets may be the only contender to a Perth or a Melbourne United.
Yep. I think it's a great point you make there, Seb. Obviously, it's kind of amazing how this has turned out, he's wound up back at the Bullets. And we've kind of said from the start, well, imagine if you paired Law and Patterson.
Yeah.
Now they're going to get that experience up in Brisbane. Right.
I think the Sobey question's interesting, but we can dissect that in a minute.
Okay. So, to make the point, you know, I'll kind of just reiterate what you were kind of saying about New Zealand. I'm not in that position about, oh yeah, question slow starts to the season 2 years in a row. There's extenuating circumstances around all that regarding injury too, right? So I'm not really in that boat. New Zealand's had a lot rough injury run to deal with, including Lamar. Yeah. So, like, it's hard to even assess the fit with Lamar, given it was only, it was only really for 5 games he played. Mm. So that didn't really, it's too small a sample in a 36-game season to get rattled about. I'll give you the example. Like, Melbourne United have just lost 3 in a row. Are we worried? It will come to that, right? But I'm not going, well, like, this is definitive. You know, like, New Zealand's had a rough run. Like, we all get it. And it's tough being on the road. We understand that. That's part of the reason why I think the Lamar fit will probably be better in Brisbane. You know, you get to live in an apartment or a house rather than being shipped around where it's tough. You know, at the moment, or they'll be going to Tasmania, I believe, the Breakers as a base. But so far, they've just been traveling around in hotel rooms. So I think that would be, you know, that's an advantage relative to what New Zealand have had to go through. In terms of the Brisbane fit, like it's kind of funny to see some of the Bullets fans going, I don't like the disruption to our chemistry. We're rolling all this sort of, you know, like, oh, this will impact Sobian law, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it'll impact them. Yeah. But I'm telling you what, like, you're not getting anywhere near it with just Sobian law. I'm sorry. You're not. You'll go, oh, yeah, we beat Melbourne United. Yeah, you beat Melbourne United in a regular season game where numbers were down.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You need this. The Bullets need this. They weren't get. I was willing to give Orlando Johnson more and more of a go. I get that he was a defensive stopper. I understand all those things. But the Bullets, you could just see, man, like the Bullets were like, They weren't, you know, it was like pop gun territory.
Let's be blunt about it. Sobey is having an out of the box MVP year. And you'd have to say, on historical standards, it's questionable. Number one, whether that can translate for the team
and whether it's sustainable
into playoff success. And two, whether it's sustainable.
And right? I'm not sure about either of those things. And we've seen games where teams have locked up those two guys. What has happened?
Yeah.
And before the NBL Cup, this was a team that everyone was in the dumps about again, right? Yeah, I get they went 5-3 at the NBL Cup and everyone gets excited then, right? But people like, oh, they lost two games at home to the Illawarra Hawks. Then it wasn't this level of excitement about the Bullets, right?
No.
So that's, I think perspective needs to be had there. And if you want to compete with Melbourne United, you want to compete with the Perth Wildcats, you even want to compete with the Illawarra Hawks, right? Then you have to bring more than just those two guys to the table. You do. And this provides you with a legitimate third star. And it throws Brisbane from being a playoff contender to a contender.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And you have to make that move. Andre's made the move. I laughed at all those people like, oh, yeah, Andre's taking sly digs at Lamar. As soon as he's available in the market, what happened?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And and to be honest, I get there's an inherent... I've heard that Lamar loves Brisbane, right? Because I've heard from other teams that they have wanted to pursue him in the past. It just wasn't an op, you know, like it was Brisbane, was home. So it makes sense. I think other teams probably should have been making a call, to be honest. And if people go, which teams? I think Melbourne United should have made a call. Well, but we'll discuss that later in terms of just a general discussion about Melbourne. But this fit, it works. He's historically been great in flow. It provides Sobey. This team goes downhill, especially when Sobey's off the floor too, which doesn't happen a lot, but it happens. So you can leave him and Law in that situation when you're giving Sobey a rest. And it just provides them with flexibility. Now there's a multitude of ways that the Bullets can beat you rather than just two.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
In this year's league, Seb, playmaking is king, right? You need guys who can close games, and Bryce Cotton is the perfect example of that. Bryce Cotton is teamed up with John Mooney and a ragtag bunch of misfits. And they're 7-1, and they went 7-1 at the NBL Cup. It shows, I get that Bryce Cotton is on another level to anyone in the league right now. So don't at me and go, oh, like, well, Bryce, I understand Bryce is better than everyone else. So therefore, of course, like, it's more likely to happen in that situation. But you need weapons. You need playmakers who can close games. And that's the difference. If you're telling me which supporting cast you'd rather have, Melbourne United's or Perth Wildcats, you'd rather have Melbourne United's supporting cast, right? But the difference is there's no Bryce Cotton to close, right?
Yeah.
And you need closers, and like it or lump it, and a lot of people around the NBL landscape lump it, Lamar Patterson is a closer.
Yes.
And you need them.
Yes.
And I think Brisbane need it, especially amongst two guys. Sobey closed the game brilliantly against Adelaide, don't get me wrong. But Brisbane couldn't close down games earlier in the year against Illawarra. They couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
And
no, well, you need multiple options. I mean, we'll talk about United in a moment, but one of the stark things about going to the NBL Cup and watching them was exactly this point. And I know it's your point,
said it in the preseason.
I don't want to steal your thunder. Yeah, I don't want to steal your thunder on that. We'll come to United in a second. I guess the other side of this Bullets trade, and I know signing, is New Zealand with Levi Randolph. We'll probably
and
close
William
that off.
And William McDowell-White as well.
True. I think, like, I don't want anyone to misinterpret my comments on New Zealand. I still think they're a very impressive organization. I'm just a little befuddled by, and I've listened to your detailed explanation there, Carl, about the injuries and the like, but I'm a bit befuddled that they couldn't get this to work, this roster, with Lamar there, etc. So I don't know. I don't know much about Levi Randolph, to be honest, Carl. Are you able to shed some light for our listeners?
Yeah, so Levi Randolph is come from the G League. His numbers are okay. His career-wise, they're very good. They're about the 15 sort of range, points per game, on, you know, around the 50-40 mark that you kind of want, and field goal and three-point percentage. But again, it's the G League. Hard to read, right? How he'll go here. I think it is a smart move in the sense that I think New Zealand have kind of done the right. I think this deal kind of works for everyone because New Zealand need help now, bro. Like, they can't wait two more weeks on Lamar to get healthy. Brisbane can. They're in a far better position. But the Breakers are 4-9. So they've got three games over the next couple of weeks where, you know, say Lamar's not healthy. I mean, at 4-12, you're finished.
Yeah,
right.
True.
So you got to move now. I get it. I understand the move. He seems passable. It's always hard to tell before they get here what it's going to be like, but he kind of fits the Corey Webster sort of mold. For me, he looks, you know, it's always hard to translate, right? But he's 6'5", so he's that, he's that scoring guard, small forward sort of role in the NBL, you would think. And he kind of fits that utility 2-3. It's going to be interesting how it works. I think it's the right move considering that they need to win over the next couple of weeks, otherwise it's pack your bags time. And they look dull. They look fatigued by the end of the tournament, Seb. So
do you think but they are done though. They're not making the playoffs. I think they'll be saved from the wooden spoon.
They're going to win. They're going to win some games. Yeah, they're going to I think they're going to they'll be okay. But I think they're in, you know, people will, you know, I think they're in sort of the, they'll be around the Adelaide, and them will sort of be around the same at the end of the year ahead of Cairns.
Okay. Yeah, that's
so
fair.
They're going to, and Adelaide aren't bad, right? So I'm not saying I think New Zealand will hover around like winning 40% of their games.
Yeah, okay.
Which is better than
no, that's fair.
You know, they're around 30% at the moment. I think they will get better.
Yep.
But at the moment, they just look fatigued, man. Short rotation, NBL Cup. Positives, Colton Iverson looked really good. Ty Webster looked good early in the tournament, struggled with some foul trouble. Finn Delaney came good at the end, but it just was kind of, they were positioned at 4-6, I think. Four and seven. To be able to make a move, because all the other teams, you know, like Sydney, Brisbane, Southeast Melbourne, Illawarra, are all between 6 and 8 losses.
Yeah, and they've only played 13 games as well.
So if they had snuck one of the last two, I would have been like, game on. It's hard. It's not impossible. And Levi Randolph might bring them a step closer than
that.
But now, as I said, this is why the move needed to be made now. And I respect the organization, GM and ownership, for making the move now, because they're like, well, we can't wait another couple of weeks. And I get that. But I, you know, it is a, I do think they strategically got some things wrong to start the season, how they played. Will McDowell White, it'll be interesting to see what he brings. He's sort of been, you know, that two-way. Yeah, I think he got a two-way with Houston. And then he's sort of this, like, hasn't been great at Rio Grande Valley so far this season. But, hey, we'll see. You know, he's averaging, I think, 3 points a game at 34% shooting. You'd hope he'd improve on those numbers with probably some more exposure to minutes as opposed to the 17 he's been getting in the G League. And we'll see how he goes as well. They're going to be an interesting team. It's going to be a whole new team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch from that perspective, definitely. And you know what? I think any team in the league can go on a run.
Yeah.
So you just never know. You never know is the upshot. Let's go to Melbourne United. We've teased a little bit over
Take on Brisbane. Like, what's your final review of Brisbane now? Like, playoff contender, overall contender, or do you think this will not work?
I am not prepared to say they are overall contender yet because I think there are a number of questions about fit, chemistry, all that sort of stuff that need to be worked out. I think they probably will work it out, but I need to see it. You know, I need to see it happen. And I do think there's some credence to the fact that Sobey's having an out-of-this-box year and it can be a bit disruptive. It might be better for the team overall. I don't know. I think it's plausible that it will be. But until it is, I'm going to lean on the disrupted side of the ledger until I see it. Yeah, I know. You probably didn't expect that from me, but I think they should make the four.
You thought they'd make the four without him, and I don't think they would.
Yeah. The thing for me is the Phoenix situation. I think they might get in regardless.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say that I, in regards to Brisbane, I think it's a stark improvement. I think it's a necessity, to be honest. The only two, like Sobey and Law carry such the load of this team. I mean, Sobey averages, I think, a bit over 24 a game. Vic Law averages a bit under 20. And then it's like Hodgson at 10. Yep. And then everyone else is in single digits. Right? And I just didn't see a path forward with the Sobey and Law show just by themselves. That's not doing anything for you. And I'm sorry, we saw it. I saw it up close and personal on the weekend, Seb.
Yeah.
I saw them get punched in the mouth by Casper Ware. And Brisbane just couldn't go. They couldn't go with Martin and Ware.
Yeah.
So, and that's a competing team against them. Yeah. I don't see the firepower there without Lamar Patterson to be a serious team in this run home. I don't see it. As good as Victor Law is and as good as Nathan Sobey has been, I don't see it. And I think Brisbane fans have got to kind of get a grip on that, that like, the peak of this team without Lamar was fourth. That's it. And a straight sets exit straight away.
I agree with that. I mean, the peak was fourth without Lamar. And the question is, don't get me wrong. If this was the preseason and they had Lamar Patterson, I'd be jumping for joy, right? But it's just, I'm not sure that it's as easy a conversion as we think to introduce him into the roster because he is such a dominant player and Sobey has been having an MVP season. So I accept everything you're saying and I agree. In order for them to win the title, they need him and they need him up and going. Yeah. But is he going to be up and going? Is it going to work, et cetera, et cetera? Well,
Know. Orlando Johnson, I sit there and watch Bullets games, and you've talked about this earlier in the year, Seb. Yeah. You go, well, I see them get great looks and they just miss.
Yeah.
Right? You've had this conversation and you go, I watch Bullets games and they get wide open looks and the players just can't hit a shot. I think that, like, Andre Lemanis would have been angry sitting there watching Orlando Johnson get wide open look after wide open look and shoot the ball from the perimeter at 25%. Right, you can't play that way. You can't.
I agree, but the question is, like, Lamar Patterson's not going to be doing that. He's not going to be sitting on the perimeter taking threes.
No, but you can rotate him through in the different systems. Like, flow is an option offense, Seb.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not I like know, we're running for this. It's option-based, and it always has been.
Mm. Yeah.
So he'll fit.
Yeah.
And to be honest, he was okay. able to, in the games that he played, he and again, people go, oh, defending him. He was able to show at New Zealand he could play, you know, he could play a facilitating role as well. Probably too much so. Right? True. And I just don't see how this team gets it done with Orlando Johnson. I watched him and I just go, like, again, it was bringing it, when they played the Kings on the weekend, it was bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. Look, I you make a world of sense to me, Carl. I'm just not all.
No, I understand that, and I don't think any. I mean, anything's a chance, right? And it's hard to be all in on anyone at the moment, right? The way the season's going.
Correct.
So let's move on. But yeah, the Bullets.
Well, Let me ask you a question then. Just on the Bullets, I'll pose this one to you. If Lamar Patterson slots in seamlessly. And he recaptures the form that he had last year. Are the Bullets winning?
They're
in the title?
Contention, yes.
They're in contention. But
no, they're a title contender, yes, with Melbourne.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to Melbourne.
Yep.
All right. Good. They're in a bit of a slump. I know, Carl. You are going to tell me that there are no problems whatsoever in Melbourne United.
No, I won't, but yeah, we'll go on, yeah.
Maybe I've bought into the expectations and the hype around this team too much. Maybe in a two-import league where you get a couple of injuries, it really does start, doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Melbourne United or Cairns or whoever, it really does start to take its toll, especially when you've got a string of games in the NBL Cup every second night you're playing, etc. Maybe that's what Melbourne United are facing right now. But I just, even when they are at full strength, I know they were winning games and they were really exciting to watch.
Well, they weren't really exciting to watch, but they were winning games, yeah.
Well, a lot of people found them exciting to watch. I mean, you might not have, Carl, and I sort of thought they were okay.
Second worst rated offense in the NBL. Third worst rated offense in the NBL.
Yeah, and we spoke about that with Geordie, right, last week. And actually, there's a really good clip that he put on his Twitter, which shows where Chris Goulding's got the ball at about the three-point line, and he passes it in to Jock in the block. And Jock, really, I thought should have just turned and gone. But he kicks it out, and you see Chris say, what are you kicking it out for?
Mm.
And to me, that when we went and watched them, that was a bit of a problem. And I don't want to steal your thunder here, Carl, but it does go to your point of who's the guy that's going to get this? Who's going to drag? Who is the Bryce Cotton of Melbourne United, right? Who's going to drag them over the line? And you very adroitly, Carl, identified this in the preseason. So I'm not going to steal your thunder. I'll let you talk about it. But for me, it is a bit of a fundamental point here that I wonder, like, it's Chris Goulding, obviously. But if you look at, I mean, even Brisbane, we just spoke about, we're talking about three guys, arguably, that you could go to, right? With Patterson, Sobey, and Law. I know Perth are a bit of a different beast, but you know, even Perth have a couple of options. And I know United, people will say Jock Landell, Chris Goulding, even McCarron. I'm not sure about that. You know, I'm not sure. But maybe I'm too cynical about it, Carl. I don't know.
I think there's reason to be alarmed at Melbourne, but I've kind of said this to you from the start that this roster, I've said this for weeks, that this roster is not a perfect roster. Like, let's dispel that myth that everyone's kind of talked about since the preseason. It's just simply not true, Seb. Like, it has a number of holes. But the thing is, everyone has a number of holes this year, right?
Yeah.
The big problem for Melbourne, as I've said from the preseason, is they lack that definitive closer slash finisher. Yes, it's Chris, right? It's Chris, but Chris isn't a classical closer in the sense that he's not really an off the dribble one-on-one player. It is like you run Chris off a bunch of stagger screens and you get him wide open, he can break a game open. But if you're looking for that guy that you can just throw the ball to one-on-one to close a game, they don't have it. Lachie Everett, who I tweeted this on the weekend, and it was picked up by Felix von Hoff, who mentioned it during his, and credit to him for actually referencing me as well. Much love, Felix, unlike most around the MBL podcasting sphere that just take ideas and claim them as their own. He referenced me, and he always does. So shout out. Thank you, Felix. But I said on the weekend, Melbourne United could really use a Casper Ware. Their offense is laborious as hell. I know everyone talks about Cotton citizenship opening up an import spot at Perth. Don't forget United still have one up their sleeve. Might need to use it, right? And my point being is, in those situations in the past, it was like you knew where the ball was going. And we saw this against Southeast Melbourne, Seb, too, closing the game down. Yeah. We were like, how are they going to get this?
And in fairness, in that situation in OT, Goulding was on his minutes restriction and didn't play. For
the
first few,
and then they're in trouble. And then Jock got the final look and missed, right?
Yeah.
Like, and again, it's hard to and to make the point that I was referencing, Lachie Everett pointed out accurately, right? That was supposed to be Hobson as that point forward. It hasn't panned out so far. Will it?
So far,
it could, it could very well. I think he's shooting the ball in the low 20% from three and about 35 from the field, which isn't good enough. But again, it's a small sample size, just like I'm not willing to run down some of these other guys. I'm not going to run him down. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, if we start heading into real dicey areas, then I understand, But like, I think I've been to three or four of the United. I think every game I went to involved the United one that night, right? And their offense is about as laborious as passing a kidney stone, Seb. Like, it is, it's tough to watch. Like, on the weekend, it was just a bunch of guys looking at each other going, well, who's going to go?
Who's going to take the shot?
And we made clear at the start of the year. I don't know who it is. They're lucky for them. They still have an import slot up their sleeve. But like, they've clearly spent a lot of money already, including at the Landell spot, which is much talked about. Will they do it? I don't know. But you look at this group, and I just don't see that end. Mitch McCarron. Good role player, right?
I think he's better than that.
Are you throwing Mitch McCarron the ball to close a game, Seb? No. Can he create his own shot?
No.
No.
Look, he's not renowned for it.
No, he's not renowned for it because he can't. No. Chris Goulding can, but it's not Cotton. It's not Ware. It's not what Hobson was last year. It's not Patterson. It's not that, right? And Nathan Sobey has grown into this role this year, right? He didn't have it previously. Yeah. He's grown into it now. But I look around the rest of the team. Jack White, no. Big Joe, no. Mason Peatling, no. Sam McDaniel, no. Shay Illy, no. Udai Baba, no. Sam Short, no.
Yeah.
Where is it? I ask this as a legitimate question. Where is it? And Melbourne buggered this up last year too, Seb. Don't you remember? They couldn't close Sydney out.
Yeah.
They didn't have someone that killed off those games. Trimble had more turnovers than a bakery at the end of games 1 and 3, right? Long jacked up a triple, totally ridiculously, you know, in terms of shot clock situation. It was just bad. Like, it's 2 years in a row now. I like this team a lot more than last year's, though. And, like, if Scotty Hobson comes to play, then all of this is fixed.
Yeah.
But is he? Like, this is the problem with Melbourne. And you watched it on the week. I was there in person on the weekend. Illawarra had Tyler Harvey. Melbourne didn't have anyone.
Yeah.
To close that game. And some of the rotations are bizarre. And even Melbourne United fans will tell you that. Like, they are just strange. And I don't get the Chris Goulding the Chris Goulding minutes restriction stuff. I get it from a sports science perspective. I understand all those things. It doesn't work with shooters where you're playing them in short stints. You have to give these guys rhythm.
Yeah. I mean, look, in the playoffs,
it's going to be a different story. But you know what? Perth are about to... Perth, if they beat Cairns, are about to tie them at the top of the ladder and are about to go ahead of them on percentage. And this was a team that was self-declared, we're going to go on, you know, we got a chance to go undefeated. It's just, man, like, I still think they win the title. I'm still here saying they win the title. But, like, and like Sam McDaniel and Shea Ili, they're the same player. And he's playing them both at once at one point. Like, what?
Yeah.
This is, I know I sound exasperated about Melbourne here. But this is when you get a bunch of really nice role players together and everyone gets excited about it and then the other team rocks up with Bryce Cotton. Melbourne, Perth are winning games with Jared Bairstow starting. They're not only winning games, they're winning the NBL Cup going 7-1.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Melbourne are definitely in a hole to the point where...
Are you calling for an import, Seb?
I mean, I think the money's spent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know, but I think the money's spent.
I'll read you the player name, Seb, and you tell me whether you're excited about them to finish a game for you or not.
No, well, let's do it. Let's do it one by one.
Chris Goulding. Yes?
Yes.
David Barlow. Yeah. If he's wide open off a kick, he's not creating his own shot, but you can have him there as a floor spacer, right? Dylan Stuth, no. Jack White, no. Joe Lualakil, no. Jock Landell, we experienced him shooting the last shot. Not sure I want it.
Yeah, but that's one.
No,
one,
but I mean, I'm not buying bigs in. I would say no to Cam Oliver. Right?
Okay, I'm gonna say maybe for Landell.
Maybe Peatling, no.
Yeah.
McCarron, no.
No,
Sam Short, no. Sam McDaniel, no. Scotty Hobson, last year Scotty Hobson, yes.
Last year, yes, and maybe this year.
Shea Ely, no. Udai Bubba, no.
No.
So we're looking at it's really Chris or bust right now. Let's be real. Because Jock can only come into that situation at the close of games if you have an ability to create, if you have someone that they're really scared of in the pick and roll.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of like, you know, like a John Mooney will get duck-ins because like you have to show hard with Cotton.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's an interesting, but if you ran the same for Perth, I mean, other than Cotton, who are you putting down?
Cotton.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, granted, he's a better version than Chris.
But Cotton is that guy. Melbourne don't have that guy. Yeah. That's the point I'm saying about getting an import. That's why they needed... This is why Casper was the perfect fit for this team. And they've struggled ever since in those situations.
Fair.
So, this is... All I'm saying about, they're still my title favourites. But as I said on Twitter, spare me this in the all-time great teams conversation.
No, it's not that. Yeah, for sure.
It's got limitations. And I don't know. I sat there on Saturday night and I just watched it and I was just like, how are they going to score? When they can? No, you laugh. But I sat there and I just went, in the fourth, how are they going to score, A, with some of these lineups, and then B, like, Goulding's right with Jock there.
Oh, I love that clip because I experienced a lot of frustration at that United Phoenix at the yep. throwdown, where I was just thought, Jock, go, mate, go, you know, and it frustrated me to watch a little bit.
You've been a lot harsher about Jock Landell than what I have been.
I have, but that's because he comes with a big tag, big expectations, and he should be judged on that basis, in my opinion.
Pull out the term overrated.
I'm not going to go that far. But I find him frustrating to watch at times, and then equally I find him incredible to watch.
Yeah,
you know. So, but in that game, it was just a very like I felt like United were crying out for that option, and maybe that's what you're expressing as well. Mm. You know, that on Saturday night they were doing it again.
Yeah.
And it's not there at the moment. And maybe it'll click together. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because realistically, mate, if Scotty Hobson doesn't fulfill that need and they don't get an import, on what basis are you saying they win the title?
It's hard. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but if you're maintaining that they win the title.
I think Scotty Hobson comes good. Call me crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
I think with him in the line, he has to be there and he has to play. If you can get Scotty Hobson shooting above 40%, shooting mid-30s from three, they'll win the title. Mm. If they don't, I think they're pushing uphill with a lot of these teams, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
With the top six, Phoenix will, you know, Phoenix at full strength would, you'd have to lean them.
Yeah.
Illawarra, I'm less confident on.
Mm.
Just because it is, again, very dependent on a couple of guys. Sydney, you don't know if they'll ever get to full strength, but they present a danger. But this is the point about Melbourne United, right? Because we saw them, I'll tell you, I saw them play against, you know, live against the Breakers, the Kings, the Phoenix, and the Hawks. Live. Yeah. And to be honest, they had no business. They probably had one of the games that they lost against the Phoenix was probably the game that they had the most right to win. Right?
Oh,
they were bad. Yeah. I thought they were horrible against the Kings. I thought they were even worse against the Breakers. Then they got flogged by the Bullets. And if it wasn't for the Chris Goulding cameo, where he went ballistic with like seven threes or something, they get blown out in that one. Then they lost to Phoenix. Then they lost to the Hawks.
Mm.
So it's very hard. You know why they're still the favorite for me? Their defensive end, they're excellent, Seb.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's the plan. The plan is ultimately, you know what, we can go real hard on Cotton in a playoff series and nullify him enough to win. I don't know. Maybe that's it.
But that's the question. Yeah. People will tell you Perth are the favorite and Perth have the two best players in the league, all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't disagree with Perth.
Let's do the Perth discussion in this now with Melbourne.
Yeah. I don't disagree with people who say that, but the problem is that I've seen NBL championships won on depth.
Yeah.
Right? And look, let's talk about Perth because I attributed Perth's title winnings to depth, Cotton, and Gleeson. And there are some arguments to say that the depth is gone, but obviously Cotton and Gleeson are still there. And if that's the case, could you see a team like it seems preposterous at the moment to even suggest that, you know, Bullets could knock off Perth in a series. But maybe they could. Maybe if Patterson comes good, they can. You know, I don't know.
Bro, I tell you, what have I said to you for the last 2 weeks? And this is great for the NBL. No one can have a cry about this, right? You can throw a blanket over the top six.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. I mean, certain teams I'd rule out of contention. Like, Illawarra are great, but they're not winning the title.
Depends.
Nah, they're not winning it, mate. They're not winning the title.
Depends on matchups. So.
Yeah. Nah.
Illawarra can beat Melbourne. I don't think they'll beat Perth, but they can beat Melbourne.
I also look. This might infuriate some of our listeners, but I don't think Sydney can win the title either.
No, probably not. But if Cooks comes back, they are an extremely dangerous first round opponent for Melbourne or Perth.
I agree with that. And I guess, like, at the end of the day, Carl, if it is that close and they get through the first round, maybe they can win it. Yeah. You know, like, so I don't
I've,
know.
I've ruled out these are the teams you can rule out from the title. The Taipans, it's pretty clear. The Breakers and the 36ers. After that.
Yeah. I'm ruling out the Hawks too. I'm ruling out the Hawks.
Okay. That's fine.
And I think I'm ruling out the Kings as well. I'm going to be a bit more dogmatic than you.
So you're saying it's Melbourne United, Perth, Southeast Melbourne and the Bullets that are...
To be honest,
You're ruling out the Bullets too?
No, I'm going to infuriate people. I'm ruling out the Phoenix.
So you're going United, Wildcats, Bullets?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that just simply because I watched the Bullets get waxed by the Kings on the weekend. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I think it's an unbelievably tight competition. Because of COVID has created a environment where there are the only... because the elite teams generally have... three legit imports, or at least have three like really big spending guys. And this year, there isn't quite that. Like, no offense, Jack White's not starting for the title favorite any other year. Like, let's be real. He's not Jay Sean Tate. He's not, Nick Kay. You know, and that's the title favorite. We're saying he's a good starter, which he is in this league. I think you throw a blank, like Jared Bairstow starting at the four for everyone's second favorite. I do believe in the Hawks, but the Hawk, like, let's move on then from the, let's do the Wildcats quickly. The Wildcats are, I think you have to put them as, I'm having them as second favorite. I can understand those who want to argue that they're the favorite.
I can't separate it. They're joint favourites for me with United.
Yeah, I've got Melbourne and Perth. I've got Melbourne, then Perth, and then, but the gap to sixth is nothing. It's nothing. And in previous years, we've been like, okay, we can narrow it down to three teams or two teams.
Yeah, I'm still in that camp, I think.
Okay. I'm more positive about the NBL this year than what you are, Seb. I'm saying play. I'm saying everyone barring Adelaide, the Breakers and Taipans are in play just because I think the roster's very even.
Look, I will say I think Sydney are the ones that I'm less... that I'm more confident on of including if Cooks gets back.
Yeah, because then you've got Ware.
It's DJ, a good roster Vasiljevic, with Cooks
there. Luzada, Cooks, Martin.
It's a very good roster with Cooks. I can't dispute that. I think,
and they've lost Glover too, as their sixth man, right? Originally.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Sydney are the one that I am willing to reconsider.
Let's go through each of these. So, and Southeast Melbourne ruled out for you?
The thing about Southeast Melbourne, I know we do the Creek thing, et cetera, which is a caveat, but Sykes is also a caveat there. You know what? I just expected this team to be better. So from what I'm judging it on what I've seen from this team throughout the whole season. And it's a little bit the Melbourne United problem, Carl, without the defense.
Okay. Let's break down. So we've done the Wildcats. They're definitive equal favorites for you with United, while I'm saying next definitive second at this stage.
Yeah.
Well, the big concern with Perth is Jared Bairstow. Like, that's your starting four man. I think they're shallow as shallow. And I have concerns about that. Not gonna lie. I think they have issues in that regard. Mm. Todd Blanchfield, we kind of expected that he would turn it around in Perth, that the environment would suit him perfectly. And he's going at about 15 a game. But Jesse Wagstaff, people, including Perth fans, were calling him finished last year. And he's arguably, I think, been their fourth best player this year.
Yeah, and I think he's a very, very good player.
But the problem is, it's the bench, right? So the bench is, because, like, let's be real, Jesse Wagstaff's the four in the clutch, right? It's not Luke Travers, right?
But see, this is the rebuttal to this. Bryce Cotton's going to play every minute. John Mooney's going to play every minute. The rotations are going to be less as they should be in the NBL in 40 minutes. That's an advantage.
Yeah, but when your point guard rotation is Mitch Norton and Kevin White. And when your power forward rotation is Jesse Wagstaff, Bear Stow.
Yeah, I've been wrong on Mitch Norton. I think
I'm positive on Mitch Norton.
I know you are, but I've been wrong on him. And for that reason, I'm not going to be negative on him.
Yeah, I hear you. I just, the depth is like one of those backyard, you know, inflatable pools. Like, that's what we're kind of talking about.
Okay, but if Bryce Cotton, if the starting four for Perth come up against, you know, three of the United bench, I mean, we know what Bryce Cotton's going to do.
No, that, but this is the argument.
And we know that Vickerman's going to play the bench.
Yeah, I know. But this is the thing. Like, this is the point I was getting to earlier, is that Melbourne have a better team than Perth, but Perth have Bryce Cotton.
Mm.
And it's why and I'm not saying he's on the same level as this, but, like, Sydney wins games because they got Casper Ware.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's be real about that. All these teams, all the big dogs, and Southeast Melbourne win games because they got Mitch Creek.
Yeah.
Right? And Mitch was not the separate type, but, you know, like, when we watched them against Melbourne, he was phenomenal.
He was phenomenal. He was ridiculous.
Yeah,
in that
right? game. So these, all the big dog, and now Brisbane, I think you have to put Sobey in that conversation. Plus, I mean, Lamar was the second best player in the competition last year. Third, depending if you want Machado or not.
Mm.
So, like, these other teams have it. And Illawarra has Tyler Harvey.
Yeah.
And I think Melbourne need that, and they just got to hope that it's a mix of Chris and Hobson. But, yeah, we move on from Perth, definitive second favourites. Let's do quickly. So, Southeast Melbourne, you've got them making the four? Dependent.
I don't.
You don't? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. I'm
so you're saying Brisbane, Illawarra make up the other spots?
I think Brisbane and the Kings.
So why are you so negative on the Illawarra Hawks, Seb? Give me the bear case on your Illawarra Hawks.
Well, I think you just made it. It's Tyler Harvey. And that's, like, that's it. Like, if you're do it position by position. We just went through it. Brisbane have three stars now. Right? The Kings have Casper Ware, they're gonna get Cooks back. DJ's been amazing. They've got experience. I just, for me, the rosters are better, right? I think you are putting, and you're right to do so, tremendous faith in Brian Gorgeon. And I think what he's done and how he's turning that franchise around is unbelievable. So it's not a criticism. I just think that there are better teams than them.
Okay. No, my reasoning here, I get Tyler Harvey, who can score buckets like anyone in the NBL, and he can just break a game open. I got Justinian Jessup as a floor spreader, right? Yep. I really rate his game. He's really efficient. Didn't have a great NBL Cup, but hopefully, you know, goes back home, gets back into usual routine, things come back that way. I was really impressed with Cameron Bairstow.
I agree.
I think he's one of the better bigs in the competition, Seb.
Yeah, I know, but at the end of the day, so my response to that would be, like, take Sydney, for example. Like, Casper Ware, he's a beyond competent defender.
Yeah, on Harvey, yeah. And I agree.
You know, so I just think Sydney have, provided Cooks comes back, and soon, that I think they've got too many weapons. So I guess that's why. I'm probably in the minority here on the Hawks. I think a lot of people are with you, Carl, saying they're going to make the four.
Sam Frohling, I don't. He's an okay bench player. Mm. I don't like it. I love the lineup of death. I love the Tyler Harvey, Jessup, Simon, Adele, and Bear Stow 5.
Yeah.
That's as talented as any five in the NBL.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. And I know we saw Gorgon has unleashed it on a few occasions. And I think as the games become more important, he'll continue to do so.
My problem is with the Hawks is when they don't shoot the ball well, what are they? Right?
Yeah, because they don't have a huge, they don't have a, like Cam Bearsall's great. Mm. Like, don't get me wrong, but they don't have a great big.
Yeah. You say he's great, then you say they don't have a great big. But yeah, he's decent.
No, no,
yeah.
But I'm saying he's not, you know, he's not, like I wouldn't pair him in the Oliver, the Landell, the...
Oh, he's a better, you know, I think he's a better offensive player from a skill set perspective than a lot of those guys, but he doesn't offer the rim protection or the defensive element of yeah. the game that those guys do. On the offensive end, he's every yeah. bit. He's a better back down post sure. guy. Like if you gave Cam Bearstow's sure. back down post game to Jock Landell right now, it'd be really handy for Melbourne United.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm telling yeah, you what, that ball wasn't, if that was that skill set down there, the ball wouldn't be kicked out with Chris Golding shrugging.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And people yell and scream about that. The guy's got a history. Like, he's an elite post-up player. So,
yep. Not fair.
Yeah. But again, I understand that, though. He's not as good. He's not, he's not as good in the pick and roll. He's not as good in the, he's not as good, you know, like, at, like, you know, the dunk finish at the rim. Like, not a good, he's not as good in that scenario. I'm saying as a pure offensive, I'm going one-on-one in the block. He's better than those guys.
Mm. I think your defense of the Hawks is fair. I think it's fair. And to a certain extent, I'm just making a call.
I know. Saying, and that's fair. Yeah. See, I'm probably taking defense sitting around here saying everyone's great. But yeah. This is why I'm really enjoying the league this year. Because while, yeah, the top end talent isn't quite as good as what it has been in previous years, that's sort of a good thing because, like, I'm not staring at a team that features Tarico White, Bryce Cotton, Nick Kay. Like, you get what I'm... Like, there's not those standout teams of Perth and Sydney from last year.
I mean, I think we don't appreciate how good the NBL has been
in recent years. And it's not a knock on this year to talk about how good these teams were in previous years, right? But what I'm really liking about this year is there is a greater spread of in terms of you've brought the big dogs down a little bit.
Carl, you were never a fan of parody. I know. What is going on? What is happening?
What I
to
like
Carl Beston?
Is that this year I can see multitude of teams winning. Well, last year it was kind of like, okay, who's going to win out of who's going to win out of Perth, Sydney, or Melbourne? Yeah. I can see more than that.
All right, so who's your third?
Who's
then?
My third on the ladder at the end of the year?
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, pending scenarios. Then I'm going Illawarra.
Yep, fourth.
Illawarra.
It's tough, isn't it?
I'm real. They're going to hate me up in Sydney. I've got them missing just because I don't know when. Like, the Cooks thing, there's no certainty there. Southeast Melbourne or Illawarra. I might go Brisbane to sneak in ahead of Southeast Melbourne. I'll go Illawarra, Brisbane.
Yeah. I mean, the Bullets, they're pretty much there already.
Yeah, the Bullets and the Southeast Melbourne have the same record, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah,
and we have to see how the next few weeks play out. It's hard to make definitive predictions now till we know what exactly is going on in the landscape. Okay, so we've done Southern Melbourne done, we've done Illawarra, done Perth. Let's do Sydney quickly. Thoughts on how that's progressing and like what do you can they like if they beat Melbourne on Friday night? Wow. It's a race, right?
It is. I don't think they will beat Melbourne, but if they do, I reckon you could almost say, provided Cooks comes back soon, if they win on the weekend, I reckon they might make the four. That's how big that game is for me. I think it's a huge game. And everyone's going to say, of course, Beston and Greenway love the Sydney Kings. But you know what? Like, they've, in their circumstances, I think they've been phenomenal. I really do. And again, they've unearthed some talent with DJ.
Yeah.
You know, we've spoken about him before. I just think they're a really quality organization. I love what they do. I think they are a talented roster that really... the other thing is Casper Ware. Yeah. Casper Ware is the other... And to a certain extent, Carl, the conversation around the Kings has been the same all season. Wow. Mass adversity. Casper Ware turning his season around. Great young finds. Good start to Adam Ford's coaching career as a senior coach. To a certain extent, the conversation with the Kings remains unchanged for me. You know, it's, wow, when is Cooks coming back? Because if Cooks comes back, this team can be really, really legit. Mm. So I don't really have much to add to to that other than what we've been saying about them all season long.
Yep, I agree. This team, if it gets together, like I don't mean that in terms of, oh, like they're this one, you know, in any sort of way, that if they can get everyone healthy at the same time, it's a very dangerous team. I wouldn't want to play them. I mean, DJ and Casper can just like shoot you out of a gym and destroy you. And
yeah,
if they then get support from, because there were those games, like they should have beaten Melbourne United. But again, yeah, combination of things. I thought they got a rough end of the calls in that game, fair to say. Mm. But also their bigs just simply didn't provide enough production to get that job done. Yeah. So in the second half, you know, they kind of locked up DJ in the second half, and it was Casper or nothing in the second half against Melbourne. And Casper, very valiant effort. I think he scored like the last, before the miss on the final one, scored the last 6 points of the game for the Kings on three straight possessions. Like, you couldn't ask for more than that. But I just think Jordan Hunter's a great up and coming talent. I would rather see Jarrell Martin and Cooks as my starters, obviously.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, once they can start cleaning the glass, doing a better job finishing possessions on the defensive end by cleaning the glass and getting some scoring out of the post, so there isn't just so much pressure on Casper and DJ to do it night in, night out, this team's a contender. Again, it's a contender. I wouldn't want to, if I was the Illawarra Hawks and I made that, I don't think they're going to play Illawarra, right? But if I'm Perth or Melbourne, like, none of these teams are a picnic.
No, that's fair. They're not a picnic. I'm just being a bit more definitive than you for once, Carl, about who I think is going to get through.
But I guess I just look at those two teams and I see the holes and I go, you know what? Like, there are ways to beat them and it can happen.
Yeah.
I'm open on this year because, like, again, on this team, I look at these, and if we're saying that, like, you know, United, if we're counting Goulding and Hobson on Sydney, you have to count Ware and DJ.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right? If we're counting Jock Landell, we have to count Jarrell Martin.
Yeah.
But they just need a string of health, man.
Correct.
Because, I mean, Jarrell Martin's averaging almost 18 a game. That includes minutes, restrictions, games lately.
There's no doubt about that. Like, they need a bit of luck.
Yeah.
The Kings need a bit of luck.
Oh, they do. With injury, they just need health. And it's a marvel they're 7-8 and they're still able to contend despite not having that. And now they'll run into a position where they can. So this weekend, you don't think they beat Melbourne?
Oh, it's a genuine 50-50.
Do you just want to pick the games? Because the odds aren't up. It's brutally tough this year. We've wanted to do picks of the week, but the odds are never up on time, right?
Yeah, sure. We can do that.
Let's just pick the games. as Seb's mobile goes off in the background, is Seb they're sending through the what other people's picks are. Is Seb, who's your mate who's going it's picks.
Mate, it's Darwin. Darwin is calling.
Please don't go back to doing it Beston and Greenway. We were right. We were taken to the cleaners by your picks last year. 20 plus units on both of us.
I'm going to say Melbourne.
Yeah, Melbourne are underdogs. I'm picking Melbourne as well. Perth and Cairns.
Perth.
In Perth, you have to.
Yep.
Southeast Melbourne and Adelaide at Southeast.
Have they got a line on that Perth one?
It's about 5.5. Yeah.
Oh, I'll take that. Yeah, that's that. Cairns are getting destroyed in Perth.
Okay.
It's the comeback to Perth game, mate. It's gonna be
Southeast wicked. Melbourne versus Adelaide.
Adelaide
in Southeast Melbourne. You're picking Adelaide.
Yeah.
I'm picking Southeast Melbourne.
Okay.
Brisbane, New Zealand in Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Yeah. No Lamar for 3 more games, 2 weeks, till he returns. It doesn't matter. Lamar. Yeah.
Brisbane.
Melbourne versus Illawarra. At the John Cain Arena.
I know this is going to make no sense to people, but if Melbourne lose to the Kings, they'll win this
one. It is the Monty of Monties. Yeah.
And if they beat the Kings, I think they will win this as well.
Yeah, I agree. But if they lose to the Kings on Friday night, pencil it in.
Yeah, it's a certainty. Yeah.
Sydney Cairns on Sunday at the King Dome down at Kudos.
Sydney for sure.
Perth and Adelaide in Perth. Mate.
I think this one will be more competitive than the Friday night. I think Perth will win.
I think they're going to be playing Nutbush City Limits in celebration much earlier than usual. You know, generally it comes on with about 3 minutes to go when they've got a 15-point lead. I'm saying third quarter, they might as well be playing this thing on Monday night.
Wow, okay.
I think Adelaide are ripe for the picking. I think they're...
Fair. Look, I think Perth smell blood. The Perth will be top when we next do the podcast.
Yeah. Well, they won't be if you're predicting that Melbourne beats Sydney.
Yeah, I know. I might change my mind on that one. I think Sydney will win.
I think it might be Sydney win and Melbourne win against Illawarra.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And Perth win both and Perth at top.
Yeah, I'm going... I'm going Melbourne. I'm going the Melbourne double. They recover.
All right.
Let's go. We'll roll with that one.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. Do you have any final
words? No, I just think in terms of the NBA, I thought the NBL Cup, the season has shaped up beautifully now. One through six, all competitive, all really, you know, tightly contested teams. It could go anywhere from here, and I'm kind of excited now to add Brisbane to the list of, you know, like Brisbane, I never treated seriously before this. Like I thought it was a 5-team race before that. Hmm. Now I think it's a 6-team race.
Oh, well, I'm not sure I entirely agree, but I think leading towards the playoffs, I think, yeah, you can throw a blanket over quite a few teams for that fourth spot probably. So it's going to be a huge end of the season, Carl. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. But the podcast, Carl, is over. And so if you would be so kind to rate and review the podcast, we really appreciate everybody sending the DMs when we had that bit of a downtime, getting in contact with us. Really appreciate all the support we get. But if you can rate and review the show, we would really appreciate it. If you've got any questions, at Carl Beston, at Seb Greenway on Twitter is probably the best place to catch us. You can follow us on Facebook too, www.facebook.com/BestonGreenway. Otherwise, we will be back next week, Carl, with another NBL show.
I'm looking forward to it, mate.